Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Bok bok.
Bok bok.
That's what he's saying.
Is that what the Easter bunny says?
Bok bok.
Yeah, no.
I think that's the Easter chicken.
Hippity hop, we on the air.
Yeah. Man, the commercials for those all the Easter candy sure have changed over the years, hadn't they?
Is Cadbury still running ads?
I think so, but it's different. They got a different animal this year, I think.
Who watches commercials?
I don't ever see any because
we skip through them if we can.
There you go.
Switch channels if we can't.
Isn't that strange how that's changed? But happy Easter, nonetheless. He has risen, as so many say.
I ain't eating no ham today.
You're not?
Ham got nothing to do with Easter.
Well, we're doing neither's crawfish, but that's what we're having today.
I guarantee you there was crawfish at the Last Supper.
Well, I got a picture to prove it.
Oh, there you go.
I got a picture. I'll post it.
Is it autographed?
I'll post it now.
Did you get everybody at the Last Supper to sign it with you, Mike?
No.
They didn't have a camera.
Charlie was there, though.
But I was there. There were no cameras.
But I'll post it on our Facebook page. I do have a picture of them throwing crawfish out on the table at the Last Supper. But anywho.
By the way, you posted the thing the other day. Ain't nobody ever caught no – heard nobody caught no tilapia. That's what Jesus ate. The tilapia is what is natural in those waters up there. It is not here. It is only farm raised. That's why you don't hear people catch it.
Yeah.
If you catch it somewhere outside of a pond, it's considered an invasive species.
Okay. Now, that's just something
Plus,
I saw.
Plus, it doesn't taste good.
I thought it was funny. I posted it, and I got a lot of reaction out of it.
It is a fish for people who like the taste of chicken and don't care if it's healthy or not because it's the least health. It's got more cholesterol per pound than bacon. So it's not anything anyone should be eating.
Right.
Unless you catch it in the wild. And in the wild, it's got a diet that it should have.
Yeah.
And it's lower in cholesterol. It's still not a great fish.
Yeah.
But plentiful.
Yeah,
it's very plentiful, as you can see by the proliferation of it on chain restaurant menus.
And it's cheap.
It is cheap, and you get your money's worth, including lots of cancer and other stuff from it. It's a horrible, horrible thing, but still better than shway.
Shway?
Yeah.
You'll have to shway me.
Yeah. I don't know if we got a scale that big. Oh, shway.
Shway.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, good morning. Happy Easter to you. How about rabbit? How about a rabbit?
I want to do rabbit stew for Easter every year. And for some reason, people are just like, I don't think that's appropriate. Like, rabbit stew?
Rabbit. When I was younger, I used to eat rabbit.
Rabbit's fantastic. As a kid,
they hunted them and they ate them out in the country. Yeah. Country folk did.
I buy it at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
It's healthier than chicken. This myth of chicken being healthy, we've got to get rid of this.
Yeah.
Just because something is low fat and low calorie doesn't make it healthy.
And plentiful.
Salmonella is low fat, low calorie.
I love it when people say, hey, try this. It tastes just like chicken. Well, if it does, just buy chicken.
Everything anyone has ever told me tastes like chicken tastes better than chicken. Chicken has no flavor in America. The way we raise it, it's bland and tasteless.
Yeah, that's why I only eat the thighs.
Yeah.
Only eat the thighs.
That's what you really have to ornament chicken to make it taste, especially the breast, which is the most useless piece of meat on earth.
Oh, you're talking about my favorite part now.
It's dry, it's flavorless. Yeah, it's low in fat and cholesterol, but it has a huge concentration of all the antibiotics and all the other garbage that they give the chicken. And there's nothing healthy about a chicken breast. Because of the chemicals.
I always eat the thigh. So
yeah, the thigh is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And
the legs got a little flavor to it.
Legs are good. The just wings, not big enough. Especially a whole wing.
I grew up on drumsticks.
Yeah. Mm. But the best part is the heart. Fried chicken heart, best thing you're going to eat out of a chicken. Second best thing, and you'll agree on this, the chicken skin.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, Brandon at the Hickory Pit there in Sims has a fried chicken skin appetizer.
I want to try that.
It is phenomenal.
Because I know
not just fried chicken skin. It's batter dipped fried chicken
skin. In the
skin.
Delta area of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand there's a Chinese company, and they buy the chicken skins. I guess they buy them from all the chicken processors over that area. And they sell bags of fried chicken skin, like pork skin.
Any if you got a skin, I'll eat it.
I mean, I'm going.
Maybe not.
I gotta try skin, that. You know. Now, it probably wasn't Weston, but when Poor Babies first opened up, and they had their private opening parties. They had like a week's worth every night. It was just come in, and they had taken the breasts. They had taken the chicken thighs and cooked them, they pulled the skins ever so gently off and set them to the side. They made a pate like out of the thighs and put it on a piece of toasted thin bread. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name for it. But then
Crostini.
They seasoned the chicken thighs and they baked them like in little squares and they put them back on top. Well, at the end of the evening, they had to be either thrown away because they wouldn't taste good the next day. Guess who's going around picking all the skins off the They were like a cracker. Were like a little toasty cracker.
Who was doing that? You didn't answer the question. You said guess who, and then they did tell us.
I don't know who the chef was at the time.
No. Who was eating all the chicken
skins?
Oh, okay.
Me. They were addictive. I couldn't stop.
Yeah. Sean Brock, who is one of my favorite chefs, owns Husk in Charleston and Nashville and another one in Charleston. It's got a Scottish-Irish name like McHenry's or McAllister's or something like that. Only, not the chain McAllister's. He asked his chicken purveyor one day, "What do y'all do with all the skin you take off the breast when you ruin the chicken breast?" They said, "Well, we sell it to dog food, cat food, and all of that." And he goes, "Can I buy it?" "Sure." So he's paying nothing for a 40-pound case of chicken of skin. They would scrape all the excess fat off of it, flatten it out, put it in the oven, get it crisp, season it with salt, and make that the base for their nachos. Fried chicken skin nachos.
You'd think about it. And that's what people tear into on fried chicken. They tear into the skin first.
Heather will say the best thing in the world to her is the skin off KFC chicken. She said she didn't have much use for the chicken, which is terrible. It really is.
Now,
the quality that they use.
If done right, even fish. The skin on a fish.
Chris Sherrill asked me if I had tried Dorama Sushi Restaurant in Daphne on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. And I said, yeah, because he's like, it's like L.A. Japan good. And he's right. Mm-hmm. That was the first place I ever had a salmon skin roll, which is a roll just for you. They take the skin off the salmon, deep fry it, roll it up with some rice.
Oh,
it is so good. And I took my first bite of that and I went, this is amazing. Because you've got all that flavor of salmon, but there's no salmon. There's just that crispy skin in it. Oh, my gosh. Dorama, Daphne, salmon skin rolls change your life.
Wow. I'm going to try that. I wonder if Deborah's got any up there at Hall Sausage. If they got any
salmon
chicken skin? No, not salmon, but chicken skin.
Why would they have chicken skin?
Don't they carry other meats, too?
Yeah, they don't deal in chicken.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pork.
Got it.
All their sausages are pork-based.
Got to ask.
Yeah. There you go.
And deer.
And you ask the Hall's brand ambassador. Yeah.
Do they have?
No, they do not. I talked to her the other night. I helped her do a Taste of Mobile. We went out there. And you sent us a message later. Were there any local restaurants there? Because this festival has had a reputation of being nothing but chains, and why would anyone want to go? The only chain, per se, I would say, was Tejas de Brazil. And that's one of those chains where, Mobile can't support a Brazilian steakhouse on its own.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be part of a chain. that can have a higher buying power and keep the prices a little lower. Because if you try to do the same thing Tejas de Brazil does on a local basis,
yeah,
you're looking at $75 a person instead of $45.
Right.
Okay. But we got to go to break.
Give us a call at 343-0106 if you want to call us or text us that number.
But hey, it's Easter Sunday, so.
And we are live here. We're not, this is not a recording.
No. Well, it's about to be.
Okay.
From way out in the west, I get so tired of working all day. I want somebody who wants me to play. Pretty clothes that never were mine. But if my dream comes true, the sun's gonna shine. Oh, I want a butter and egg man. Some big butter.
Big butter and egg man, honey.
Oh, goody.
But I'm different. I'm from way down in the south.
That's just what I'm looking for.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, my name is Alon Shai from Shai Restaurant in New Orleans, and you're listening to Sip and Chew from Mike and Stu.
Alon has two new restaurants in New
what
Orleans
are they?
Now. I don't remember the names. I think one of them is Sawya or something like that, but our friend Sarah Lubitz is going to work for him there in July.
Oh, she's coming back.
Moving back to New Orleans. Yeah.
Oh, and happy belated birthday, Sarah Lubitz.
Oh, I birthdayed her all week long. She'll get over it.
She's growing up.
I sent that picture to her. I believe she's the big 3-0 this year.
Ooh.
I didn't mention any numbers because, you know, the ladies don't care for that. But, hey, we grooving.
Hey, yeah.
But I sent her the picture that we took with Panini Pete and Alec Naaman and I.
Mm-hmm.
And told her that was her birthday present. And she goes, I miss you and Pete so much. And I said, what about Alec? She goes, in all honesty, I've only met him once. That was Heather's first time meeting Alec.
Yeah.
And we walked away. She went, oh, my God, he sounds just like your imitation of him. I said, that's the point. And she goes, I didn't know he really talked like that. And I said, isn't he a wonderful man? She goes, he was just the sweetest man.
And Noel
maybe
Broughton.
He's imitating you, Stu.
And Noel Broughton, who owns some restaurants as well.
Hey, Mike Bailey.
Yeah, he's him and Alec and you get y'all three together.
Well, here, we're going to have this man come on the line now and clarify all of your confusion.
I'm confused.
Over Panini Pete's in Mobile.
I'm confused.
We it's like Beetlejuice. We say Panini Pete three times, and boom, there he is on the phone. Good morning, Pete.
I have never been in charge of clarifying anything other than talk.
Butter. You've
maybe
clarified butter.
Hey, clarified butter. Good morning. Happy Easter, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, happy Pete. Easter, how are you?
Good morning, Pete.
Good, having a beautiful day, and just, you know, I heard you talking about Sarah and all this wonderful stuff, and awesome, she's coming back to the neighborhood-ish.
Yeah, that'll give us a place to flop when we go to New Orleans now.
But hey, I wanted to touch, what do you need me to clarify for you there?
To update Mike, because he's confused. What's going on in downtown Mobile with Panini Pete?
All right, that's why I happened to call. Well, we are in the process of rebranding. You know, I was looking to move that location and wanted to scale it down a little bit more like my WVU property.
Mm-hmm.
So we can cater to that fast lunch and that lunch hour. And
the great coffee.
I've tried retooling it in the past with fast casual and stuff, and the market wasn't really receptive to that. So I said, let me go to another spot, and I was in talks with RSA. Where the old Chick-fil-A spot was, and that kind of fell through. I'm not going to go into any details there about that deal. But anyway, at the process was going to rebrand Panini Pete's, do a gastro pub, and open lunch and dinner with a bar. And, you know, so we decided to go ahead and move forward with that. The last 7 years I've been here, it's amazing what's happened in the last three. at night with the restaurants and the nightlife and people coming back down and moving downtown. And it's really, really, really so positive to see. And I wanted to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And you've picked out, I love the name of the new place. Are you ready to tell the world about it, or are you just going to keep it just kind
well,
of a...
I've been doing, I started, you know, a couple days ago, put some stuff out on social media, so we're calling it Squid Ink.
Yeah.
Eclectic Eats and Drinks. So we're going to be home, you know, a little cocktail bar and great restaurant. I want to play on our French and Spanish and British heritage, so there'll be a few nods in there with some of the dishes, but, you know, we're still going to do some great sandwiches and burgers, and we'll throw in some po' boys at lunch. We're going to be doing shucked oysters, pressed sushi, some pasta, all kinds of fun stuff.
Mike I'm glad you said pasta, because Mike gets nervous if he thinks all you have to eat with is chopsticks. Mike, for the record, Mike is not racist, but his palate is a little bit.
Yes. We'll have gluten in abundance, Mike.
But I love
I'm just saying, if he had taken us to one more Asian place out in California,
we went to two.
I was going to stab him with chopsticks.
We went to two, Pete. Two. We had,
they were delicious. They were incredible. I love
them. All right. And nothing like you've had before.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, and Pete,
you want to know is how well did those West Coasters handle you guys? I mean,
they handled the Beverly Mobilies pretty well. Pretty well. Pete, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jolene Sugar Baker, the Trailer Park Queen on YouTube. It's probably the biggest. Yeah. They can handle Jolene. We're not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got a point there.
We were the weird ones out there. We were the weird ones out there.
I bet you all had more fun than anybody.
We had a great time. I'll tell you, Santa Monica Pier, next time you go out to L.A., take your beautiful bride with you, and y'all just go to Santa Monica Pier for the day.
I'm going to be out there in May, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and do it during the week. We went on a Monday, so there was a crowd, but it wasn't a huge crowd, and it was just
weather
the best
was great
date I've ever had. It was really amazing.
It was beautiful, except for the trash floating in the water.
That was a seal.
No, there was there was plastic floating in the ocean.
I know, it came from Japan. Yeah, that's the thing, is they always give us flack. Oh, you know there's this plastic island in the Pacific Ocean? Yes, I do, and I know every bit of that trash came from Japan and Australia, so don't try and shame me into it. Yeah.
But
they want to blame us.
We know which way the current flows.
Right.
So do you have a timeline set up for any of this this
change?
Yeah,
I mean, we'll start demoing on Tuesday. You know, the cool thing is we're building a bar in there. We're taking out the majority of that center wall. I'm actually building an interior balcony.
Yeah.
To be able to kind of look down over
really?
The bar and whatnot.
To people watch.
Yeah, which will eventually hopefully make way to redoing that upstairs. And that'll kind of just the preliminary access to that. The upstairs of that building.
That's
and it'll be
cool.
Fun, a good look, some, you know, some nice wrought iron railings. And, you know, we really want to give it a great feel. You know, we call it Eclectic Eats and Drinks, and it's going to be. I mean, you know, my tastes are just out there.
All over the world, because you go all over the world.
And we'll play on the it's going to play on a little tattoo kind of hipster culture and just make it fun. The cocktail culture is great. You know what Roy's doing at Haberdasher and Will down at Southern National.
And El Poppy. Post. Yeah, El Poppy has great cocktails as well.
Yes, they really do. So, you know, we want to help be part of that, help kind of unify and continue to push and elevate the culture so we can be known as a good, great food and cocktail city. Because Mobile's just, it's all happening, man.
Yeah, it's like you know, when we finally broke people of that habit of wanting every menu to look like Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
It was just like everyone had been freed from the shackles. Yep. And now they're like, well, yeah, I'll try Squid Ink. I'll try Pancreas. You know, and it's wonderful.
We're doing some fun stuff. Did you see the shot I did of my squid eggs?
Yes, because I love riffing on Scotch eggs.
Scotch eggs.
I've got a riff on Scotch eggs that I like to do. You're welcome to use it.
All right. Well, I got this one. This was with shrimp and calamari.
Yes.
That I used and bound that, and then spread and covered the little quail eggs with that, a nice crispy crust, and I had a little key lime and squid ink aioli.
That sounds terrific.
So it was a little nod to our British heritage, and also just something fun and different with some good seafood in it.
That it sounds great, and I could see you riffing on paellas all the time. just like a paella of the week, maybe?
I'm going to do a paella arancini. I'm going to do a paella pressed sushi. That's funny you said that, because with the Spain influence, I'm like, oh. And with, you know, doing the paella challenge with Johnny Hernandez every year out there in San Antonio, I love me some paella.
And for people who haven't tried it, it is the dish that influenced jambalaya. Jambalaya is what happened when paella was on the Gulf Coast, and then the Creoles and the French started tinkering with it, and the Cajuns. Try the original paella. Gene Fox is a master.
You know,
at paella.
I've seen some places in South Florida, like some condos on the beaches. Yeah, that all have grill setups. But I've seen paella setups.
Yeah,
at some of the places in South Florida.
It's hard to execute, you know, in a commercial restaurant. Do it right, where you can get that sauerkraut, that nice crust on the, the bottom. But you know, we'll play around with it. Definitely get those flavors, chorizo, some shrimp in there, and that saffron rice.
Right, and then
you know,
and
maybe torch it a little bit.
Pete, I'm going to be at this place all the time. You know that, right?
You better.
I'm glad I live downtown.
Yeah. Well, Pete, we appreciate you calling us in. We're up against the break, buddy. You're welcome to hang through,
man,
if you want, but I know you got an empire to run.
Rock it and rolling.
Hey, and thank you again for your support getting us out to California, Pete.
Yeah, very much, Pete.
Hey, man, you guys, I was so happy to see you guys get out there and go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, man, we got to hang out with an Iron Chef. So
take care.
Panini Pete Blom, folks, from Panini Pete's Sunset Grill, Ed Seafood Shed, and soon Squid Ink. All right, folks, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to listen to a special grilling compilation I put together of interviews at World Food Championship. So get ready to get your grill on.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, this is Marty Duncan from Food Network Star and MartyKnowsParties.com. And you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Stu. You're listening to a pre-recorded segment that was done during the World Food Championships in Orange Beach, Alabama.
Oh, I see bacon garlic and jalapeno.
We got bacon garlic. So we're getting set up for a demo on the Maximus stage in just a few minutes, so you can come over and check that out.
All right.
But we're doing some pretty fun. Are you going now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're rocking. All right. So we are Cowboy Brand Charcoal, Hardwood Premium Lump Charcoal, some Western barbecue products. You can see the chips and the chunks, and we've got any barbecue wood that you need.
Anything
later, I
can build a fireplace.
That's it. We'll have some wood for you. There's pecan hickory right there. There you go.
All right. Well, real quick, let me teach you how to say that word.
Right.
Pecan.
So I'm from California. My partner over here, he's from Texas, and I keep saying pecan, and he keeps laughing every time.
Now there are places where they call it pecan. As my father said, a pecan is a Folgers can you put under the bed in case it's too cold to go out to the outhouse. That's a pecan.
No, so we don't have that for barbecue. We have pecan.
Right.
Yeah.
Now on your woods, I see peach right here, which is wonderful. Mesquite.
Let's walk right around the corner here, and we can look at a bunch of others.
Because you know, a lot of people that are serious and don't know. Hi. That most of your flavor doesn't necessarily come from a rub or a seasoning. It's going to come from your wood mix.
Right. And you can see hickory, mesquite, apple, peach, cherry. We've got all of those are all chips. We've got all of those in chunks as well. And this is something that's really kind of fun. So these are our Jack Daniel's chips. Take a look for those.
Are those made out of barrels?
That is the barrels. Yeah. They send us their barrels and we chip them up.
Yeah.
And you put that directly in your fire.
Is that post oak that they make their barrels out of?
They do. Yeah, make them all right there in Lynchburg.
Post oak is the most common wood you're going to find in Texas water.
That's right.
Especially on the east side of Texas.
That's right. Here's actually some post oak right here.
Right.
I mean, you can see they're just good pieces of solid wood.
We certainly hope you've enjoyed this special grilling edition that we recorded during the World Food Championships at Orange Beach. Now we're going to head back to the studio for more live Sip and Chew. Provolone.
Con in there. And that is, it gives the most incredible flavor.
Yeah, I love it.
Distinctive. We had a place for years, and they're remodeling right now, so they're not open for you to visit, called the Brick Pit. But there's, I think it was like 75% pecan, and the rest was post oak.
Post oak.
And no rub at all.
Really?
And just the most unbelievable ribs in the world. And I have had beef jerky where they use the pecan rib. It's unbelievable. So.
Well, I'm kind of addicted to apple right now. I'm kind of going through an apple phase.
And I have gone through the peach and the cherry phase, too.
Yeah.
I've never used the maple, though.
Yeah, maple's great. Okay. Maple imparts a nice, sweet flavor. It also helps color the meat that you're cooking very well. Yeah, you get a nice color out of it, too. It helps kind of bronze it up a little bit. It's beautiful wood to cook.
Well, I sure appreciate it. And if people want to take a look at your woods or any of your products, where can they go?
They can go to cowboycharcoal.com or westernbarbecueproducts.com.
All right. We sure appreciate it.
Thank
and
you.
We'll try and drop by over there later.
Good deal. Thanks.
Okay. Our radio show, and we want to just tell people real quick, if you can, what the Flame Boss is.
Flame Boss is a digital temperature controller for charcoal smokers and grills. And it uses a small blower to control the amount of air to the fire.
Right.
And a temperature probe that you clip to the food grate. Mm-hmm. And it calculates precisely how much air you need to keep it at the temperature you set it at.
And it automatically adjusts the fan.
Exactly.
Adjusts.
And it's variable speed. It actually can, in most smokers, it can keep a more precise temperature than your oven does at home.
Yeah, well, I tell people, don't trust your oven at home.
So that wasn't a very good comparison, I guess.
No, actually, most people depend on it too much, and there really is a lot of variance. So if you've got something that locks that down, that's an incredible advantage when cooking. Keeping the temperatures steady is very important, especially with barbecue.
That's what the winners that are still here will tell you.
Yeah. All right, if anybody wants to learn anything about it, where can they go?
Flameboss.com. We got some videos, we got products, and we got an 800 number.
All right, excellent. Maybe we'll see you at the Jack one year.
All right, thanks a lot. Y'all
Thank
guys
you.
Have a great day.
All right.
Love this weather.
Oh, yeah, our winners are harsh, aren't they? You're my favorite person. A lady with the goo gone.
How are you?
Just fine. I'm Stu. We're doing a Facebook Live for a show called Sippin' and Chew with Mike and Stu. The radio show is over. We're doing a bonus hour on Facebook today for World Food Championship.
Cool.
And we want to make sure we talk to you. I am a big fan of goo gone because I inherited about 200 Aladdin lamps that all had a sticker price on them. And so, goo gone is one of my favorite things. And when you get new plates in a restaurant that have stickers on them, have gone worse, but you've got some other stuff going on here.
And this is only a small portion of the products we offer.
Yeah. In my swag bag yesterday, I was so happy to see a bottle of the glass cooktop cleaner because I just bought my first one. And it was used, so I'm going to want to clean it.
Yep.
What does this do? How do I do that?
So my favorite one is the kit because it does come with a sample of the cream.
Right.
You can of course purchase the larger bottle, but it does come with a scrubbing pad and the handle, which is very handy, especially cooking in there.
Right.
A big help. And then we have a scraper tool. So it comes with a razor blade. Once it gets dull, you can just go to the Ace Hardware or whatever,
mm-hmm.
purchase another one, switch it out, you're good to go.
Outstanding.
So, and one tip I can give you is since you've got a cooktop now. Something that I find is super easy is you just put the cream on there, put some saran wrap over it, and let it sit for like 30 minutes. Then take that off and use your scraper,
mm-hmm.
and then get it with a scrubbing pad and then a microfiber to just buff it all in afterwards.
Wow.
Perfect.
Excellent. And this is information on your...
Yep, just a few of the products that we're using for the competition, and then there's a 10% off coupon at the top.
Hanging on to that.
And then on our website all the time, if you order $35 worth of products, you get free shipping.
Okay, and what's that website?
It's either Gugon.com, Wyman.com, or other brands like Gonzo.com.
Oh, okay.
So we've got quite a few things going on.
No kidding. All right. Well, thank you very much for
thank
your time.
You.
And
nice
thanks for coming to
you.
World Food Championships.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we're here at Barbecue Beach at World Food Championships, Komodo Joe's, and everyone is talking about your cooker.
Yeah.
They are very excited about it. So tell them what distinguishes a Komodo Joe.
Sure. So it's a ceramic style grill based off a 3,000 year old Southeast Asian invention, and it is literally the best way to cook anything.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, you can do low and slow at 200 degrees for 20 hours if you needed to, or you can get up to 1400 degrees. I don't know why you would need to, but you can. And so it's just super versatile. You're subjecting to whatever food you have in there to less energy. There's not a lot of rushing energy since you have radiant heat. So
right.
all of that rushing energy, think about like a gas grill where the heat's only coming from the bottom and then it's just brushing over, drying things out. Here, you take it low and slow and you keep that moisture in. So the chef here's got a little four-bone piece of pork going on here. Over here, we'll have a big old piece of on the rotisserie going on. We've got dojo. You can do pizza on here. We've done probably $20,000 worth of meat in the last couple days.
So. Just for you guys to eat, right?
No. So we're traveling the world. We've thrown 42 old school block parties this year, okay, all around the world, and we're just giving it away. And we're not selling grills. We're selling fun. It's that outdoor lifestyle. Something to get you outside, enjoying friends and family. Look, that's that tenderloin right there, too. So you get the tenderloin, the chine bone, and the loin.
You see it rotating itself, guys. It's doing that.
And so it'll self-baste as it's rotating as well.
Right. You know? And if people want to learn more about the Kamada Joes, where can they go?
Check out KamadaJoe.com. If you're here in the Orange Beach, Alabama area, Sand Dollar Lifestyle.
They got everything. And you can get you some new Birkenstocks.
Yes, Birkenstocks and a Yeti. You're good to go.
All right, we sure appreciate it. And y'all have enjoy the rest of the time in our brutal winter. Okay?
Thanks. We'll see you for lunch.
All right.
That's amazing that a store like Birkenstock
or Sand Dollar
can sell one of the most expensive cookers, mm-hmm, one of the most expensive pairs of shoes, and one of the most expensive ice chests.
Did I ever tell you I finally got my hands on the Yeti thermos like this?
Uh-huh.
Far and away, the worst version of those that I've used.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It doesn't hold things cold half the time of all of the cheap knockoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised at that.
Huh.
I thought it would be at least as good for the money, but and maybe I got one with a bent barrel or something. I don't know. But, man, you know what would be a good place to start your Easter Sunday?
Where?
Bob's Downtown.
And, you know, Bob's is open today.
Yeah.
And, they are – I bet they're going to be slamming today.
They mimosing out one ear and in the other one? Or in one ear and out the other?
Like that, yes.
They're Bloody Marying all over the place.
But and look how beautiful it is outside, mm-hmm, today. You know Bob's is going to be packed out.
Yeah.
And – I was there the other day.
Bacon.
I've run in there and just got a biscuit and a bacon.
Biscuit and bacon, huh?
As little as that, I've done that, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. Absolutely delicious.
Ah, man. Anyway.
But I bet he's Bob got a lot of good specials rolling today for Easter Sunday.
Bob is our sponsor. He makes this show possible. And,
yeah,
and we
so,
got some
so pop on out of the cathedral or the church or wherever it is that you observe your Easter services and head right on down to Bob's Downtown Diner. How's that sound?
Hey, happy Easter to you, David Hubble. Yeah. Love you, man. We love our callers when they call it. A lot of them text in.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, we're going for the Hubble bubble right there.
Hubble bubble.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Charlie, we got a caller up here. Stephanie wants to talk to us.
Okay. Real quick, Stephanie, we're almost on a commercial. Good morning.
Hi, guys. I know both of you. I love both of you.
Hey, hon. How are you doing?
On your show, and you never have me on your show, so you're making me talk real fast right now.
I'm fixing to set up a new bevy of interviews for the rest of spring, and I will contact you and set you up, and we'll give you a whole segment. How's that sound?
That sounds good, but I didn't get to talk to my computer, but I have their, like, personal phone number, so I could, like, actually text them.
Okay. Hey, tell us where the voodoo's going to be at this week.
Where's Voodoo Kitchen headed?
Oh, Voodoo. Hey, don't bug me about that. I posted the schedule finally on our social media, so like us on Voodoo Kitchen. I wasn't scared to plug that. I was scared to plug Mike and Sue with Sue.
Okay.
Not my thing.
Well,
I do me, y'all do you, and we'll be all good. But anyway, so, hey guys, what's up?
Hey, Stephanie. This is Stephanie with Voodoo Kitchen.
Long time.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the truck. And,
yeah.
And, I'm going to catch you. You know, I've hardly ever eaten off a food truck in Mobile, and I need to.
You really do, Mike.
Well, when they do that thing
down
the
park. You hear him, Stephanie? Won't
hey,
hardly
you know
eat off of.
I got something that y'all will think is amazing. You know how I like to step it up a notch?
Yeah.
I've got bamboo boats.
Oh.
Bamboo. Not the red and white tape boats that you get a hot dog out of. I've got bamboo boats.
Wow.
Yeah, they're made out of bamboo for Rizzle. I mean, I've been practicing my new dogs lately. But anyway, I've got bamboo boats. They are so awesome and beautiful and...
And environmentally friendly.
Environmentally friendly.
Well, all right, Stephanie, we got to go to the commercial. Thank you, sweetheart, for calling in and saying hello, and we will get you on the show here in a couple of weeks, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, hon. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk to David Calametti with World Food Championships, Alabama. The man's everywhere. He's probably playing tennis as we speak.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spooty, ooty, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spooty, ooty, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spooty, ooty, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that bottle.
So, Stu.
Yes.
You've been busy this week.
A little bit.
And I know you went to the Taste of Mobile.
Went to the Taste of Mobile.
And you were at Dolphin Island yesterday.
I judged the gumbo cook-off yesterday at the island.
You know, I understand somebody else was down there.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of information for us.
Yeah, Gene Fox was down there.
Yeah. And one day I'm going to get back into it. I've got to get back down there and do that competition.
Don't forget your okra.
Because I'm going to win that darn thing one
Not
day.
Not without okra.
But if I don't, I can't win it if I don't participate.
Exactly. I'll be honest with you. You probably could have won yesterday.
But here's somebody was down there, I guess.
David
there yesterday? Hey, David, how you doing?
The brothers Calametti were on hand.
Yeah.
Good morning, y'all. And Michael, you would have had to bring it yesterday to win it.
But that lima bean, man, that might have set him off.
That's true.
That lima bean gumbo.
There was some room there in some of those categories.
Yeah.
I had a great day. Gene Fox, 10th year anniversary of the gumbo cook-off, and I would think they had one of their best crowds there.
They were lined up before we opened.
Really?
They were lined up before we were open wanting to get in.
Well, you had a beautiful day for it.
Yeah. Except the wind was an issue, but not a terrible issue.
Yeah, it's been an issue before.
Yeah.
It was an issue for the cooks, which threw off the turn-in times a little bit and schedule a little bit, but everybody persevered and put out some good stuff. It was fun seeing Deborah Hodges there with Hall Sausages. She was doing a special
Scrimp
Hall's
and Grits.
And Dewey sausage and grits. Mm-hmm. Her and Gene Fox concocted that together. That was fun.
Those grits were – they looked like McEwen or – I mean, they were high-end grits. They were not.
Her Aunt Dewey and grits sounds great.
Well, you know, her Aunt Dewey is what the Hall's Aunt Dewey is just the best.
Yeah, it's what I use.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
let's talk about some winners.
Well, let's talk about some winners.
You know, we had three different categories. We had a kind of a whatever you want to cook category.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had freestyle gumbo and straight up traditional gumbo. And in the wild card, the winner was at Team Microcom. Stu, that was the first entry, the little seafood ball.
Yeah. Like a little grit arancini type thing. That was good.
Yeah. So
crunchy
very first entry, carried it all the way through for that one and won. And really tough competition in the freestyle and traditional, but she had told me they wanted to win everything when they came out there, and that's Lori Angelo and Darren Harbison. Maze Cafe swept the category, both freestyle and the traditional, and their freestyle was the champ. They did the smoked duck gumbo.
Yeah, with the seared duck with the slices on top of it.
Yeah.
That knocked
everybody out.
One of the judges, David, I forgot to get her name, the lady that was second-guessing wearing white to a gumbo cook-off.
That was probably Kathy.
Yeah, she had never had duck before. And we had two different entries with duck, and after the second one, she goes, "Well, I guess I love duck." Because I've liked both of those.
Yeah, somebody did duck in a duck gumbo.
Right.
I've had duck in their gumbo as well, yeah.
Yeah. And
so it's just it's a great thing. And of course, this means now for our second official World Food Championship competition in a row, we have a WFC Team Alabama alumna winning the competition.
There we go.
Patty Cakes won in her in the Fairhope cook-off a month or so ago, and then Bay's Cafe, Dolphin on the Sea Lab, repeat again. So we've got it shows the strength of our team last year, the strength of the competition.
Right.
And Stu, I'll say the same thing that Mike said. You know, you want your gold ticket, you got to compete to win. You got to compete to earn it.
I'm looking. Do we have a sandwich competition coming up? Usually, Jubilee and Daphne is sandwich or
chef. We're gonna have to do something different with them this year because they're too late. They're the end of September.
Oh, okay.
Cutoff is early September.
Oh, my.
For entry because they moved the World Food Championship to the middle of October.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense.
So
we're talking with them about doing some stuff. Our other big gumbo competition, the Fairhope Gumbo, is signed on to be the first competition for 2020.
Okay.
So they've already signed on for that. But it's just, you know, you joked about me playing tennis. All this damn food stuff I've been doing is getting, excuse my language, I'm on the radio, too. they get in the way of
it's only weekend. Easter Sunday, the holiest day of the year. How about ramen noodle?
A ramen noodle
gumbo
competition.
I am stuck now. I mean, I fell in love with it out there in California.
With the ramen?
With the ramen. So
I'm still looking for a place, and if anybody has any suggestions, and maybe David has a suggestion, who does really good ramen in Mobile?
I have not found that.
Well, yeah, I have found mediocre ramen so far.
Looking for ramen noodles.
Let's do a thing on this. Let's do a road trip in Mobile on ramen.
There you go. Mystery search.
hey, did you see the place that Heather and I tried on the way back yesterday that we checked into?
I did.
That Jade
I don't know how
Flames.
You make more food after sampling all that stuff. And she had every bit of it, too, being the gatekeeper.
Yeah. And she, it was just something she said on the drive back. She goes, believe it or not, I'm still a little hungry. And I said, you know what? I could use a little more, too. And I had seen... And here we go with the language again. But this is this guy's name. His pseudonym is Hungry Ass Dude on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I had seen him post about this place. And they make the pho, Mike, with beef short rib.
Ah, really?
So that's what Heather got. They only do pho on Saturday. And, David, it's the best pho in town.
And what was the name of it again? I forget.
I believe it is Jade Flames Grill. It's at Cottage Hill and Dawes Road. It is west Mobile. It's further west in Mobile than west
when
Mobile.
When I saw that, I looked for the location, and I called them to find out where they were located and let them know that their address was not on their Facebook page.
And then I got a ribeye banh mi that was both the best banh mi I've ever had and the best ribeye steak sandwich I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal.
Wow.
Hey, and the next time we're going to be on the island is going to be in August. We haven't firmed up other than the concept, but we're going to do a combined event with Chris Sherrill in conjunction with the Reggae Weekend Festival.
Okay. Sign me up.
We got to go. Charlie's saying we got to go here.
All right, man.
Thanks for calling in, David.
Okay, guys.
Well, folks, have a happy, wonderful, safe Easter out there. And
get you lots of chocolate and not ham. People, lamb. Lamb's what you eat for Easter.
And spend time with family if you can.
And pray for all the people in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka that lost their lives today on Easter Sunday. And anyway, get out there and support local, be local, buy local, and provolone, folks.
Provolone.
Can I say Monterey Jack?
Racist cheddar.